We are recording these lessons, as we always do, and we're putting it on the internet, and we're sharing this with others. And so that's why we have recorders and microphones for the radio broadcast. We got a radio broadcast going on right now. And so that's something that we are doing. All right, where am I? Come on now. I had it earlier. Oh, I'll get there. Sometimes they cooperate, sometimes they don't. There we go. That's not the view I was supposed to be looking at. Okay, well, I'll zoom in. That didn't work. Well, you're going to have to get a preview then. Avery knows what to do.
No, I don't.
You do. He does that. But we're going to get started here. And the title of the lesson is, I Know in My Heart.
Start touching stuff. Which one is it?
Yep, that. I know I pressed.
I got it backwards.
Backwards. Got it backwards. Yeah. Is this boring? We're going to get it there eventually.
There it is.
All right. You know, when you're dealing with technology, sometimes you have flukes. So, but I do have my outline here in case I need to revert to that. So I can always turn back to that.
Amen.
All right. We're going to have a lesson, I Know in My Heart. And how many times have you heard this from somebody? You know, this phrase is uttered by millions of people around the world. And a lot of time when they say, I know in my heart this or that. Some people say, I know in my heart I'm saved. And it's kind of strange because you look at the way some people live. I mean, there's nothing about them that even expresses the fact that they believe in God. And they still say, but I know in my heart I'm saved. And so they're following a false conception, a misconception. And so most of the time, those speaking it are aware that they are not living according to the Bible, but choose to believe they are saved anyway. And a lot of people fall in that category. They just basically, well, I don't want to do anything what the Bible says. I'm going to do my own thing, but I'm going to feel and know in my heart that I'm still all right with God. And then, of course, there's always false teachers out there that will tell you, well, it doesn't matter how you live. You're still okay with God. And so that is false doctrine that we have to be aware of. See, as we talk about the human organ that pumps the blood, there is no question it is vital to our lives. And we also know without the heart working properly, there's not a good life. We have to do things. We have doctor's visits. We have to wear a CPAP machine when we sleep. We have to watch our exercise and our diet and things like that. And so when our heart's not working properly, we're just all out of sync. And so we know what the importance of the heart working properly. And the scriptures describe the word heart to mean the mind, the soul, the spirit, and even the entirety of one's thinking. And of course, their emotional nature. And so that's how we're going to be focused on the word heart the rest of this sermon. It's going to be upon what makes me, me, and what makes you, you. And sometimes the phrase heart means to get to the center or the middle of a thing or concept. You've heard someone say, now the heart of the matter is this. And they're trying to make a point. And they might have a long conversation and say, well, let's break it down. What's the heart of the matter? And you break it down to one or two sentences where someone just spent 30 minutes just going through a whole long list of things when they could have said that in just two sentences or less. And so, in the early days of mankind, we see that sin was within the heart of the people. We know this happened in the days of Noah. God spoke in Genesis 6:5, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And of course, basically back then, that's all they did. Sin, all sorts of sin, any kind of sin they could imagine, and their imaginations carried them wild into all sorts of sin. Is it any different today in the world that we live in? No, it's not. And so it seems like that's what's happening today in our world. But that is nothing new. It's been going on. The preacher in Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, "That which has been is that which will be, and that which has been done is that which will be done." So there is nothing new under the sun. And it's just different innovations people want to use. With the advent of technology, people find other ways to sin. And so that's what they're going to do. See, God promised blessings for everyone who would serve him with their hearts. And we know that. In Deuteronomy 11, verses 13 and 14, says, "And it shall come about, if you listen obediently to my commandments, which I am commanding you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that he will give the rain for your land in its season, the early and late rain, that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil." See, God had a promise. He promised Abraham many generations before that he would bless this earth. He would bless these people, make them a great nation, and that he would give them a land. And so Moses is reminding them before they go into the promised land, there's a condition though. I mean, all of God's promises are conditional. We just have to know that. There's a condition though. You've got to serve me with all your heart. And that's what we need to do. And we learned that later the people did not serve God with their heart. They were going through the motions, but they weren't doing it. In Isaiah 29 and verse 13 says, "Then the Lord said, because this people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote." You know, Jesus quoted this in Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. And so going through the motions without the heart being involved is foolishness. It doesn't accomplish anything because God reads the heart. We know that, and we'll see that in a little bit. So the word is used hundreds of times in the scriptures. The word is talking about the heart. And the scriptures refer to the heart as the seat or the strength of life. It's what makes me, me, and you, you. And there's a problem when we rely upon our feelings rather than the Word of God. This is where a lot of people get it wrong. They just want to get some sort of feeling that I'm okay, even though maybe down deep they know, well, I don't really care what's in this Bible. I don't really want to live by what's in this Bible, but I've got to know in my heart I'm okay. And people do that. They are deceiving themselves. You know, we read in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, "God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that he shall also reap." Amen. And so we're not going to pull anything over the eyes of God. And God talks about the heart. In Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, he says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Then the Lord, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give each man according to his ways, according to the result of his deeds." Amen. See, we're going to be judged not what's in our heart, but what we do. And that's how what God is looking at. What are we doing? How are we living? Are we behaving? Are we following his commandments? I mean, that's what God is going to be paying attention to. And just because we have it in our heart that I think I'm okay, that doesn't make it right. It's like the idea of intentions. You remember what they say? The road to hell paved with good intentions. Oh, I'll get there. One of these days, I'm going to serve God. One of these days, I'm going to be faithful to God. One of these days, I'm going to start praying to God. One of these days, just because that's in your heart Have you done it yet? No. And so, you're basically in the same boat as these people. God will judge us based upon what we do, not what we think or what we think about ourselves. See, to rely upon feelings gives a false sense of security because everybody likes to think good of themselves. You know, Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And, of course, that same verse is repeated in Proverbs 16, 25. And you know what? You might talk to somebody, well, I know what the Bible says, but it just seems to me. I mean, we've heard that before. A lot of us have. But it just seems to me. I know what God said, but it just seems to me. If you follow your feelings, that's the way of death. And eternal death is what we're talking about. See, in Proverbs 16, verse 2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. Amen. Most people, hey, I'm okay. There's nothing wrong with me. I mean, they might be out there doing all sorts of sin, but I'm okay. I feel I'm okay, and I don't have to make any changes. I don't have to apologize for anything that I do because I'm perfect. And, of course, there's pride sticking in there. But, folks, feelings just do not cut it when it comes to serving God faithfully. That's what the Bible teaches, and that's what we try and impress upon people. See, where we must be careful in uttering the phrase of our title is making sure it is not based on false information. A lot of people who say this, well, I know in my heart, they're not living the way God wants them to live, but they've had some preacher tell them, well, you're okay. And that's all they needed to hear. Because learning what God wants us to do requires effort on our part. That means we've got to put forth an effort to learn what God says and then do what God says. And for a lot of people, that's just not my thing. I just really don't want to do that. But I want to feel that I'm going to heaven. And that's what they do. See, most people who use this phrase are referring to their feelings that they are connected with God in some sort of relationship. You mean we see these people. They're basically no different than anybody of the world. There's nothing about them that is spiritual. They don't talk spiritually. They don't think spiritually. All they do is think about all the garbage of this world, talk like people of this world, utter out the curse words and all that stuff. Oh, but I have a personal relationship with God. You know, folks, if people had a personal relationship with God, they would be doing what He commands them to do. I mean, that's not hard to figure out. But they have this, they claim to have this relationship with God and Jesus, but their actions speak differently. Even the Bible talks about this in Titus 1 and verse 16. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. So we must be aware that the heart directs the rest of us. The heart directs, that is our mind, that is our thinking, and we do things, sometimes you might say, well, I don't do anything without thinking about it first. Then some people, well, why did you do that? Well, I don't know. Well, your heart directed you to do it, whatever that may have been. The book of Proverbs, book of wisdom literature, speaks of the heart quite often. In fact, 86 verses to be specific. We're just going to look at a few of them. But Proverbs 3:1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Amen. All right, so in Proverbs chapter 3, basically, wisdom is the personification of God. And this is what God says. Don't forget my law. In other words, you practice my law. Do what I tell you to do. And let your heart keep my commandments. Once again, do what I tell you to do. Proverbs 3 and verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them around thy neck. Write them upon the tablet of thine heart. Amen. Take God's word and put it inside of you. That's a problem with a lot of people in this world. Basically, God's word stays in this book, and they usually set it on the counter, or they put it in a bookshelf somewhere, and it's not where it's supposed to be, in the heart. Mm. Or actually, I should be pointing up here, the mind. It's not there. And Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. This goes back and references what we said earlier. People let their feelings get a hold of them, think they're okay with God, but that's their own understanding. If we were to trust God with all of our heart, what would we be doing? We would be doing what he tells us to do. I mean, that's not hard to figure out. Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. And that's true. Everything about us, it's what is in our mind that causes do that. If we cuss somebody out, that's what's in our mind. If we speak ill of somebody, that's what's on our mind. If we do all sorts of things, whatever we do, it doesn't matter if you're getting up and going to the kitchen to get you a cup of coffee or something. Your mind is directing you to do that. And everything we do is basically from what is in our mind. And the Proverbs writer, Solomon, tells us, watch over your heart, because it can get you into trouble real easy. All right, Proverbs 10:8, the wise of heart will receive commands, but a babbling fool will be thrown down. Amen. I mean, this demonstrates, are we wise? Are we smart enough to recognize God? Then we're going to pay attention to what he says. A lot of people don't care about God. The only thing most people know about God is just a curse word and a swear word. And sometimes, maybe, if you get into a lot of trouble, okay, God, help me out here. But that doesn't always work. We know that. Most people, they're not doing it. They're just saying something just to try and get out of it, of what they're supposed to be doing. And Proverbs 12:23 says, a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaim folly. Amen. And that's true. They do that. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, it will stand. Amen. People get all these ideas. Oh, I want to do this. I want to do that. I'm going to make lots of money. I'm going to start a business. I'm going to accomplish this. I'm going to go on cruises. I'm going to have all the free time I want. You know what? The counsel of the Lord says, put your trust and faith in God, and then you're going to be okay. That will stand. See, Jesus told us our every action is based upon what is in our hearts. There in Matthew 15, verse 18 and 19, we read, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things that defile the man. Amen. And so, You sometimes, Jesus was talking about food. What goes in is processed and eliminated through the digestive system. And, of course, we know the body needs that. But what we're filling up our mind with, if it's all garbage, it's like they used to say about computers. Garbage in, garbage out. Mm-hmm. And if all we're doing, bringing into our thought process is garbage from this world, and not thinking spiritual thoughts, what's going to be coming out? Mm-hmm. I mean, we take in all this garbage. We hear all this cursing and the foul language and all sorts of wickedness. Oh, God bless you. I mean, that really doesn't fit. And people know that. Why do people say that if they're not living like a Christian is supposed to live, like we're supposed to be living? See, we're going to notice some examples of people who purposed in their heart to do what was right. We read about Ezra, chapter 7 and verse 10. For Ezra purposed in his heart to learn the law of the Lord so that he could do it and to teach his statutes in Israel. I mean, this is what we're supposed to do. Purpose in our heart to learn what God wants us to do. And then what? Then do it. and then be able to teach others how to do it. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what it's supposed to be about. But a lot of people have forgotten that message. They haven't paid attention to that message. And they still just want to do their own thing. See, Daniel, we read, for Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's food. He was selected along with several others to be basically ambassadors to the Israelites when they were captured and carried off into captivity. He was supposed to be kind of like the go-between, the ambassador between the king's commands and telling the people what was expected of them. And so the king was treating this group of people very nice and giving them all sorts of luxuries. I mean, throwing the beer in front of them and the delicacies and things that were not really fit to eat, as far as Daniel was concerned, because they had dietary restrictions, and Daniel purposed in his heart. Now, some people, well, I'm in captivity, so I have no choice. I'm going to have to eat this stuff that they're giving me. Daniel wouldn't do it. And, of course, we know how that worked out for him. Mm-hmm. And so we should be preparing ourselves in our hearts that we will serve the Lord faithfully and to the best of our ability. That's what it comes down to. And we must acknowledge that God is not in the heart of most people. I mean, most people in this world, God is not there. Like I said, he's only there because it's a accessible curse word for them or something like that. Or some go-to when all else seems to fail. But to see that, that's where they got it wrong. And of course, the only way to change people is through the heart. If we're going to get to someone, we need to touch their heart. You know, in the parable of the soils, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus talked about the sower went out to sow seed. And then, of course, the seed was the word of God, and he explained it in the definition. Some seed fell on the hard ground, and these were hearts that were not receptive to hearing God's word. Some seed fell onto the rocky soil. And it's like these people get an emotional high, but then when things don't seem to go right, they just quickly just dry up and float away. And then some people get caught up in the thorny soil, but yet the things of this world, the cares of this world seem to have such a hold of them, it just seems to choke them out. But he says, some seed will fall on good hearts, and these hearts will take the message of God seriously, and they will live like they're supposed to live, and they will share God's message with others. See, before we can change anyone's heart, they have to want to change. They want to have that change in their lives. They have to recognize that I haven't been living right. And some people have acknowledged that here for a long time. I wasn't living right. Others have said the same thing. And all of us at one time, we could all say that. I wasn't living right. But then I made a decision. I'm going to change my life. And that's what we came to do. And so we have to want that change in our lives. You can't force this on anybody. You can't force anybody to become a Christian. You can't force anybody to live faithful for God. All we can do is encourage them to live faithful. Why? Because that's the best avenue, the best course, and the only way we're going to get to heaven. And so when Peter preached on Pentecost, the word says that these people were pricked in their heart. And they asked what they needed to do, Acts 2:37. And Peter told them, okay, repent, change your ways, be baptized for the remission of sins. I mean, that's not hard to do. In fact, that's one of the simplest things you'll ever have to do. But most people just want to say, oh, you don't need to do that. I mean, so they go other ways. There's so much more we can say about the heart. And do yourself a favor, go through the Bible and see all the passages with the word heart. You might need some help. You might need to get one of these Bible programs and you can do a word search and go along and see all these things. But most of the time, the majority of the time, is not talking about the physical pump that's in your body spreading the blood through the rest of your body. Most of the time, the heart is talking about your emotions, your physical, your mind, and what's in your mind and your mindset. And so study them diligently, and your heart will be changed and motivated to do God's will. I mean, that's what we have. When you study God's Word, it's going to lift you up, and you're going to realize, I need to learn more about God's Word. Just need to put forth that effort. But that means change has to take place. We have to be careful, because when you do that, you will not have to constantly ask yourself, what's wrong with me? Why can't I get into serving God as I should? And I know there's probably a lot of people have that same thought. Why can't I just get into it? Getting into God. Why can't I do that like some of these other people? Well, it's because your heart isn't in tune with God. And that's why that happens. So if you focus on serving God, you will not have to ask that question. You're going to know. See, having said all that, we must also remember that there is an honest and truthful way to make the claim, I know in my heart. Well, it's simple. It's not based on feelings. It's not based on what somebody told me. But the key is keeping the commandments of God. See, in 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. In John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And Jesus went on to say, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. So that's something a lot of people leave out. I mean, they want to claim, Lord, Lord. Yeah, I love you, Lord. But don't tell me what to do. That seems to be their attitude. Don't tell me what to do. And of course, the Bible tells them what to do. And the Bible says, well, you have a choice. I mean, God gave people a choice from the days of Moses. Choose for yourselves this day. What are you going to do? God says, but if you want to have it good, you're going to do what I tell you to do. And if you decide to go do your own thing, it's not going to be nice. It's not going to be pleasant. In fact, he warns about that. So, folks, we do not have the luxury of picking and choosing which commandments we're going to obey. And a lot of people seem to do that. They go through, they find one or two. Okay, I'll do these, and I've done the will of the Lord, and that's good enough for them. What did Jesus say? Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. See, Jesus didn't say, teaching them to observe some of what I've commanded you. He didn't say that. He didn't say, most of what I commanded you. I mean, he's given us lots of commands. And he appointed his apostles to go out and teach the gospel message and to tell people what they needed to do to be pleasing to God. And so we have that written for us in the pages of the New Testament. This is God's message to us. It all comes from Christ. And he basically, in all of Christ's words, came from God. And so we have this. And we are required to obey all of them. Now the key is, do we know what all of his commands are? Most people never pick up this book to find out what are God's commands. So they don't know. So they're not doing God's commands. Well, we encourage you, pick up that book and read it and study it and learn what kind of person you're supposed to be, how you're supposed to act among others, how you're supposed to behave when you come into the presence of God, and all these things. I mean, we're required to obey all of God's commands. See, we all need to work on the people we know to fix the heart problem of our homes and our nation. We know it's a heart problem out there. People have even said that. Like in Dallas, when they shot those five police officers, the chief came out and said, you know what, this isn't a gun problem, this is a heart problem. And common sense people will acknowledge that. People that don't have common sense, well, we need to get rid of guns. No, they'll do that. But anyway, if we're going to change the world we live in, if we're going to change our nation and get them back to serving God, it's a heart problem that they have, and we need to guide them in the direction towards serving God. Now, we have to start with ourselves. It doesn't do any good to tell everybody else, well, you need to get your house in order, you need to straighten up, if we're not living right. So we have a responsibility and obligation to ourselves. And until we do, our problems are just going to continue. And they will continue because God's given us a message. Yeah, you're not serving me, you're going to have problems. And so, when we put God in our hearts, things will be much better for us. You know, Psalm 119, verse 11, the psalmist wrote, "Thy word, the word of God, I've implanted in my heart that I might not sin against thee." See, if we don't take God's word and put it in our heart, then we're going to be sinning against God. And when we stand before God in judgment, he's going to declare us a sinner. I mean, if we can get others to seek God with their whole heart, things will get better for them. And if we can do that with more people, things will start improving in our communities, in our homes, in our workplaces. If we show consideration towards others and be the kind of people God wants us to be, it'll make an impact upon our society. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to let our light shine and to share the message of God with as many people as we can. I'm glad we got the technical things out of the way. But anyway, we're glad everybody is here and we've heard the message. I mean, it's a very simple message, but if you don't take anything else away, fear God and keep his commandments, because that is everyone's duty. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Fear God means to respect God. Keep his commandments. He is God after all, and we're not. So we need to do his will. So we're going to sing an invitation song. We always do this, give someone the opportunity if they feel they need to make a change in their life. We'd be glad to talk to you about those things. And we'll help you in any way that we can. So at this time, we're going to stand and sing our invitation song.